a little bit as we're preaching out there so we don't burn ourselves out. We're, the crowd's going to be closer. So because it's going to be closer, we don't have to, and we can use the hailer, we don't have to be, we don't have to push ourselves and really break our voices so like that, because we got a lot of preaching to do. So I don't want you guys cracking too much your voices and us not being able to preach. So what we're going to do is use the hailer to our advantage, right? And we're preaching close. We're right around everybody. So we don't, it'll be fine, all right? So let's do that, and let's remember that as best we can, all right? Try to save our voices, because we got 9 days of preaching coming up here, and we need all the grace from God we can get, and we got to use our brains too. So let's do our best with that, so we don't push too hard there and not be able to speak the next day or preach the next day. So Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Revelation 18:2 says this, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Father, please bless us now as we look at these doctrines and we compare them of Rome and Islam. And Lord, we just pray that you'd give us wisdom and guidance and understanding with that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Rome is that mystery religion. I believe that Rome is the mother of all harlots. The spirit of Babylon rests in Rome today, I believe. I believe that it was Egypt. It was in Jerusalem as well. And I believe in Rome. There's a lot of reasons I believe that from the scriptures, but also from the examples that we see in history of Rome and the persecution of the saints. And the millions upon millions of baptized believers that were martyred for the faith. We're talking about Rome and Islam for a reason, because we're getting into this time period right around here where Islam arose to power. And because Islam arose to power, their doctrines are very similar to that of Roman Catholicism, and it's not an accident. I mean, it's not hard to see that there's a connection there between the doctrines of Islam and the doctrine of Rome. And Rome being the power source for so many things, and the ability to be able to do what Rome did and how it raised up different prophets and different... And by the way, Rome doesn't care if you have the similarities of Hinduism and all those other groups. Rome, it doesn't matter, right? They don't care. And the reason they don't care about that is because as long as they're not worshiping the God of the Bible in spirit and truth, Rome is the Antichrist religion. It is the Roman Catholicism is Antichrist religion. That's what it is. And it's the seat and the head of great power and authority in the world today. And you still see it today with over 1.2 billion Catholics, and also the trillions of dollars that the Vatican banks have, and the amount of money that the Vatican banks have, and all that. We can see that there's definitely a connection there. We also see through the different Masonic orders and most of the Muslims in other countries are high-level Masons and mystery religions. They are part of, especially the Arabian ones, those Saudi princes and different things like that. They're connected to Egyptian Freemasonry. Many of them and most of them are connected to that Egyptian Freemasonry and the different brotherhoods of Freemasonry that are out there, which Rome is the head of the mysteries and the head of all mystery religions. And holds the power. That's why you see that the pontiff in Rome has never been prosecuted for anything. He's never been charged with anything. That's the reason. Now, Rome is that mystery religion. From the Tower of Babel to the Egyptian priests to the Kabbalah Jews who were of the synagogue of Satan, to Constantine and Rome and the first pope rests the spirit of the arcane, the mystery religions. She is the mother of them all and holds the secret to all the orders. Her black pope and Jesuits are in control of all of it. All right? We see that through the different orders. See, Rome, through the, if you look at the Knights of Malta, the different knighthoods of Rome, you see that you'll find that somebody will say, well, look, these Jews, but they're running the financial market, the Rothschilds and everything. Then you find out that these Jews, these high-level Jews that are running these different organizations and different things, the Federal Reserve and all these other things, they're Knights of Malta. They're connected with them. They're connected with the Roman Catholic Church. So there's a connection with them, and they all have Rothschilds and all. There's a there was a fake picture going around for years of showing the Rothschilds, which it wasn't even them. We're kissing the hand, or the Pope was kissing the hand of the Rothschilds. It wasn't even real. The picture was fake. But it was trying to portray, it was trying to give an image that the Jews were controlling everything. But understand this, the Jews, when you look at the scriptures, you see that they said one thing, we have no king but Caesar. So who was the apostate Jews king? Caesar. Well, who is Caesar today? The Pope. He is Caesar. He is the pontiff. He is Pontifex Maximus. He is that Caesar that rules the world. He is the one that rules the mystery religions. So people tell me, yeah, but look, all these Jews are in these high level areas. Of course they are. But who does the Bible say they work for? They said it. They have no king but Caesar. And Jesus said unto them, their house was left unto them desolate. And that they would work for Rome. That's who they would work for. They would work for that pontiff. That's who they would work for. So number one, Rome and Islam both believe, we're going to look at this in the Immaculate Conception. Both groups believe in the Immaculate Conception. That Satan touches every son of Adam on the day when his mother gives birth to him, with the exception of Mary and her son. There are many direct references to Mary in the Quran. If you go to the Quran, there are direct references to Mary in there for a reason. Muhammad said that very clearly. He believed in the Immaculate Conception, which did not come to popularity until 300 to 400 years after Christ. It wasn't a popular doctrine that was believed, right? Later on, Muhammad was taught this doctrine, we believe, by writings of Augustine and other things like that. Thus, Islam believes that only Mary and Jesus were not touched by Satan. Even Muhammad did not have this distinction. They didn't even believe that Muhammad had that, but they said Jesus and Mary both, they believed in the Immaculate Conception, which means that Mary, they believe also that Mary ascended to heaven. That she didn't die a sinner like other sinners would have to go into the ground, but they believe that Mary ascended into heaven as well. They believe that Mary was immaculate in her conception, that it wasn't a normal conception. Yeah, they have none, do they? Right, but they believe that, just like Roman Catholicism does, and just like Islam does. Why is there an exaltation of the Virgin? Because it's Isis. They are exalting, and it is Horus they are exalting. They are not exalting the God of the Bible. It is not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, but it is Isis, and it is Horus, and it is Set. That's what their Trinity is. That's what Roman Catholicism's Trinity is. That IHS. Isis, Horus, Set. That's what it is. Rome and Islam both venerate a false Christ and a false Mary. They believe on the perpetual Mary. That Mary was a perpetual virgin. That she never had any children after that, when the scripture tells very plainly that she did have children. But they don't believe that. They don't teach that. Why do they believe that? Because Islam believes that because it came from Rome. It's the same doctrine as Rome held to. Right? Romanism has a Horus Jesus. And so does Islam. If you ever would look at what Islam believes about Jesus, it's not what the Bible says about Jesus, because they believe in another Christ. It's another gospel. It's accursed. Islam is an accursed religion. It is. And so is Roman Catholicism. It is accursed. Paul said in Galatians, if any man preach any other gospel than that which he have received, let him be accursed. And so say I now again. He said it twice for them to understand that that's exactly what he believed. And that's exactly what, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he taught. Evidence number two, Rome has a pope and Islam has a caliph. Shia Muslims believe that Allah, the son-in-law and cousin of Muhammad, Ali, the son-in-law and cousin of Muhammad, was chosen by Muhammad as his spiritual and temporal successor. as the imam and the caliph of all Muslims at a place called Al-Ghadar Qum, where Muhammad called upon around 100,000 gathered returning pilgrims to give their bayah or oath of allegiance to Ali in his very presence, and thenceforth to proclaim the good news of Ali's succession to Muhammad's leadership to all Muslims they should come across. So they teach in one secret leader, or one specific leader like the Pope. Now there are branches of Muslims that will not agree with that, and that's why the Pope is forever at war with them, because they will not accept the Pope's leadership. They will not accept that style of leader. They believed in an apostolic succession of some sort. The word caliph is derived from the Arabic word khalifa, meaning successor or substitute or lieutenant. In Matthew S. Gordon's The Rise of Islam, caliph is said to translate to deputy or representative of God. It is used in the Quran to establish Adam's role as the representative of God on earth. Khalifa is also used to describe the belief that man's role in his real nature is as khalifa or viceroy to Allah. The word is also most commonly used for the Islamic leader of the Ummah, starting with Abu Bakr and his line of successors. So they have a line of successors like the Pope, like the Popes do, like the man of sin, right? The man of sin there will be a final one, which will be the Antichrist. But the man of sin is a succession. It's a succession of men that rule an Antichrist religion. And who is that? That's the popes. There's a successor of men there, right? The Bible speaks that that one man of sin will be, he that letteth shall be let until he be what? Taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. There's going to be a final one, right? Which is the same thing that Islam is waiting for, which we'll get to in a second. The first four caliphs were Abu Bakr, As-Siddiq, or Umar Qarib. I can't even say these names. Abi Talib are commonly known by Sunnis, mainly as the Khalifa Rashidin, rightly guided successors of the caliphs. So there's a succession of men that rule Islam, and they rule it by force. The Sunni and Shia differ on succession, but the first caliphs were followed. So the Sunni and the Shia, they don't all agree, right? And that's why there's a war, there's a battle. That's why the Pope hates the section that does not believe in a succession of men. He has a war against them. He hates them. He wants to annihilate them. Hence, that's why you go fight brown people over in the sand for no reason at all. Over in the Middle East. That because there's these people over there that are running around in caves are going to kill you. Right? Right, and you believe they flew planes. Maybe you might believe they flew trains. But doesn't change the story much, does it? Really, it's about as much of a fairy tale as it is. But that's right, that they believe that planes were flew in by these Muslims into the Twin Towers, and that's what happened. Like, and now we have to go kill them all, right? And their IDs were perfectly found on the ground, and they were... Is it... Right? What's that? Right. Two whole buildings and then building 7. I mean, that's... Yeah. Oh, that doesn't matter. You shouldn't be thinking about that. Look, no, the most touching moment was after it all happened that all the congressmen and senators went across and they stood on the steps of the Washington Monument and they sang God Bless America together. And then right after that, they passed a bill to stick their hands down your pants at airports and to screen you and to see naked shots of you everywhere when you walk inside of an airport. Which God is that exactly? Right? That's blunt, isn't it? Man, that's... It kind of makes you disillusioned with the whole, like... Yeah. Patriotism will no longer be your religion when you look at that. Isn't that right? Am I right? It's not your religion anymore. You're like, wait a minute. Because then they say, yeah, I'll say the Pledge of Allegiance because George Washington did. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He said the Pledge of Allegiance. And even if he did, I still wouldn't be a reason for me to do it. But he didn't. He didn't say the Pledge of Allegiance. It wasn't even there. It was written by a socialist Baptist that wrote the Pledge of Allegiance. And that got, he actually got disciplined out of his church because he was a socialist. Those principles of basically worshiping the state. That type of socialist, right? So anyway, but you won't believe those things if you understand that there's a behind the scenes look at why these things happened. It's not, there's a vested interest in for you to continue to go to war in the Middle East and fight brown people over there. And it's still the Pope's crusades. George Bush's crusades were the Pope's crusades. And when you start asking questions about it, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. Right? You're a conspiracy theorist. There's something wrong with you. Why would you ask these questions? Yes. Same thing, yeah. Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yep, for a purpose and a reason. Anyway, so there's those two different groups of Muslims. That's why you understand that there's a battle and there's a war that goes on. That there's a reason why they fought the way they did. Next, Rome teaches a world empire and so does Islam. The Pope believes that he should have the temporal power of the world. He believes that. Kings come and bow down to him. Presidents come and bow down to him and kiss his finger with and reverence that dirty, rotten little devil. They kiss his finger. They kiss the pinky finger. They bow the knee to him when he comes over there. Well, who did that? World leaders do it, and world and religious leaders do it. Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, Jack Van Impe. Kenneth Copeland. Jesse Duplantis. All of them. They bow the knee to the Pope. Benny Hinn, who's yoked up with Greg Locke now. The former Baptist Greg Locke. He is in lockstep with him. Right? They all bow the knee to the Pope. They go over there and they put their... And when you do that... As a religious leader, you are bowing the knee to the Pope. You are putting your ministry underneath his authority. That's what you're saying, that he is authority. He is your authority spiritually. Right? And then George Bush did it when he went over there. He did the same thing. Every president does it. They take their trip to Rome like the Muslims do to Mecca. Have you ever seen a world leader yet that doesn't take a trip to Rome? Have you ever seen one of them yet that doesn't go over there and meet the Pope and kiss his finger? Yeah, all of them do. You don't remember that? When Michael stalked around the Pope? You don't remember that? Yeah. You don't remember that? Yeah. And then Melania Trump and Trump did the same thing. They went over there and, right, they all do it. All the world leaders, all the religious leaders, they all do that. Right? Oh, no, he did it too. Oh, yeah, he'll do it too. Well, he does it, but you have to understand, he does it through the Greek Orthodox Church. It's the same, they do it through the Greek, because if he doesn't do it, he's going to die. I'm serious. Right. I don't care how much you think the KGB, you've never seen a secret service till you've seen the one in Rome. It's the greatest secret service ever. There's like, I couldn't believe it. I'm walking through the Vatican and I'm seeing all these G-men walking around. I'm like, these dudes got, and outside of them is like, they got, I'm like, what are you guys guarding out here? the guys in black suits that look exactly like the secret service are walking around the Vat in every room of the Vatican that you're at. There are those G-men are standing right there at every room, every door you go through, everywhere you go, they're standing there. Well, where do you think we got our secret service from? Where do you think the model of it came from? We got it from them. Hitler said that he modeled his SS after what? The Jesuit order. I mean, it's common knowledge he said that. Right. Well, he doesn't. They all meet the Pope. They all have something to do with him. First, the kings come down and bow down. And right, first, the temporal dominion of the Pope is most ancient in point of time. He commenced, as we have seen, to enjoy full sovereignty about the middle of the 8th century. When you study history, you see that middle of the 8th century, the Pope starts to get sovereignty. The Pope was consequently a temporal ruler for upwards of 1,100 years. The papal dynasty is therefore the oldest in Europe and probably the world. The Pope was the temporal ruler of Rome 400 years before England subjugated Ireland and 700 years before the first European pressed his foot on the American continent. The popes during the Middle Ages ruled the world and placed it under darkness for nearly 1,000 years. Well, who knows how they placed the world in darkness for 1,000 years? How'd they do that? Do you know, Garrick, how they did that? Control, yeah. What'd they do? What's that? There you go. That's it. Because, see, if you keep this away from people, well, then you can control them. But once they open this book up and they read it, they're like, well, you're just some antichrist in a white suit, and you're really perverted and gross, too. And where'd you get all this money at? And how come everything's gold where you live? How in the world do you tax kings? And then that's why you had in this time period the Waldenses that wrote articles against the Pope. They said he's antichrist and against the papacy, and they wrote it. And what did they do? Killed him. Hunted him down and killed him as best they could. Don't you get it? You do realize where they were at, right? You do where the boudoir or the Waldenses were, right? Like, you get where they were at, right? They're in Italy. They're right there standing against the papacy by planting churches. No, they didn't raise up armies and go try to take the Vatican. That wouldn't have worked. They didn't do that. What did they do? They preached the gospel. They planted churches. They lived godly lives. And what happened? They died, many of them, but the gospel continued to be spread. And they had the scriptures. And that's why they didn't believe the Pope. You know why I don't believe the Pope? Because I have the Bible. You want more men not to believe the Pope? Then get a Bible in their hands. You want to convert a Roman Catholic? Give them a Bible. Get them reading the Bible. Get them reading the scriptures. You don't need apologetic lessons and all these other things. You need Bible. Get the Bible in their hands. Whatever disagreements we understand about Luther and everything else, the one thing we know that what changed Luther's trajectory from what he was doing, though, was the Bible in his hands. He read it. You get the Bible in people's hands, and it breaks the power of the papacy, because it is a dark and satanic power. The master witches and warlocks and sorcerers of the Dark Ages were all of the popes. That's why the Waldensians looked at him as like, you are Antichrist. I mean, you have to be. That's who you are. How did they know that? They had the Bible. They had the Holy Scriptures in their hands. They read them. And they said, we cannot agree with you. We cannot follow you. You're Antichrist. You speak again, and you call yourself the vicar of Christ. You're a devil. I mean, they didn't speak to them like pretty little independent fundamental Baptists talk about, like Jack Scott talked about the Pope when he talked about him. That sounded real good. He called him a man of God. That's what he called him. Hey, but what did he do first? He said, we're going to come out with a different King James Bible. We're going to fix some stuff that's wrong in the King James Bible. Oh, you're done, buddy. There's 22,000 mistakes in the King James Bible. We got to fix them. We're going to come out with a version fixing. Hey, guess where he ended up? Jail. Prison. Exactly. I wouldn't be messing with God's Word. You better bow to God's Word and not mess with God's Word. You better submit yourself to God's Word. Don't be playing games with God's Word, thinking you're going to correct the Bible. Whew. Man, that's some arrogance right there, man. Ugh. One says it this way. Tell us we are Catholics first and Americans or Englishmen afterwards. Listen to this. Of course we are. Tell us in the conflict between the church and the civil government, we take the side of the church. Of course we do. Why, if the government of the United States were at war with the church, we would say tomorrow, to hell with the government of the United States. And if the church and all the governments of the world were at war, we would say, no, they're talking about Rome. You get it, right? This is a Roman Catholic. That's what they mean by the church. Because last time we checked, I'm not at war with any government in the world except a spiritual war. I'm not looking to fight. It's spiritual. Our war, our battles are spiritual battles. They're fought in the prayer closet. They're fought with the Bible, the Word of God. They're fought with preaching the gospel. Why, if the government of the United States were at war with the church, we would say tomorrow, to hell with the government of the United States. And if the church and all the governments of the world were at war, we would say to hell with all the governments of the world. Why is it that in this country, where we have only 7% of the population, the Catholic Church is so much feared? She is loved by all her children and feared by everyone. Why is it that the Pope has such tremendous power? Why, the Pope is the ruler of the world. All the emperors, all the kings, and all the princes, and all the presidents of the world are as these altar boys of mine. The Pope is the ruler of the world. Father D.S. Fallon, June 27, 1912. The Pope is the ruler of the world. He said it. Well, wasn't that something, though, when you've seen all the power that the Pope had? You wonder, how in the world, like, why did they do that? Well, if you don't do it, then guess what? You get JFK'd. People are wondering, like, who killed JFK? Oh, I don't know. It's pretty easy. When you looked at the, when he went up there and he said, listen, I'm going to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces. Catholics in action? Right? You are? And then the second thing he said, oh, I'm going to bust this Federal Reserve up. You did two things. You mess with the Pope's army and you mess with his money. You are going to die. And what? JFK wasn't a Christian. He was a Catholic. So what happened? He died. Why? He didn't have any protection. Was he right to stand against the Federal Reserve and the CIA? Absolutely. What he was wrong about was not being a born-again Christian and being saved by the grace of God. Right? He wasn't a born-again Christian. What happened? He's going to die. I mean, you're messing with the darkest, most wicked organization in all the world. You don't think you're going to die without the protection of the Holy Ghost? You're done. I mean, to my knowledge, I don't know very many videos of standing in front of the Archbishop up there in St. Paul and confronting it. Do you realize when I did that video, they hired that Archbishop in St. Paul to clean up their child trafficking molestation cases there. And I didn't even know who I was talking to. I went up there and all I did, we were preaching outside of there and I took my Bible and I stood there and we were preaching outside there and that guy came. I didn't know who he was. I thought he was just some Catholic dude. I thought he was just some father. I thought he was Father O'Malley. I didn't know who he was. I did. Or Father O'Brien. I don't know. And then somebody told me later, do you know who that guy is? I'm like, no, I don't know who he is. I just told him the truth. Who is he? Oh, he's the Archbishop. He was hired to come here to clean up the mess, and I confronted him on the street about the mess and about the killing of the Waldenses and about all those other things. Right, and the drunks that he was getting drunk, and he goes, how do you know those people are drunk? You seen him walking out of there? Smell him? Maybe like, because you're serving booze? I know something. You're drunk with the blood of the saints. Right? Right. Here's another quote. The hand of God who guides the course of history has set down the chair of his vicar on earth in this city of Rome, which from being the capital of the wonderful Roman Empire was made by him the capital of the whole world because he made it the seat of a sovereignty which, since it extends beyond the confines of nations and states, embraces within itself all the people of the whole world. The very origin and divine nature of the sovereignty demands. The inviolable rights of conscience of millions of the faithful of the whole world demand that this sacred sovereignty must not be, neither must it ever appear to be, subject to any human authority or law whatsoever, even though that law be one which proclaims certain guarantees for the liberty of the Roman pontiff. The peace of Christ in the kingdom of Christ. Consilia. December 23rd, 1922. I mean, this is what they believe. Like, nothing's changed. They still believe all these things. They never changed any of the ecumenical councils or the councils that they started. Death to all Protestants, that never changed. The edict against the Donatists, anything that's ever come down through the, has never changed a thing. They have never recanted any of those things. And when the Pope goes up there and he makes a fake apology to the Waldenses, which aren't even the real Waldenses now because those people passed on, and now they just live in that area. They're not the Vaudois that died for the scriptures. They're not. They're secular. They're like secular humanists now. They're not. They're Roman Catholic, or they're Roman Catholics, which is a secular humanist. That's who they are. They're not the ones that his apology meant nothing. It was fake. It doesn't even mean anything because it wasn't real. Islam has the desire to rule the world as well. Look at Muhammad. He conquered Mecca by the sword. That was his goal, and to take it by force. He raped and pillaged and murdered. Just like Constantine saw his flaming sword, and Muhammad did the same by a sword. It's the same. They did the same thing. You know them by their mother. They all follow what their mother teaches. That's what they do. Number three, Rome forced conversion by the sword, and so does Islam. Islam had jihad and Rome has the Crusades. It's the same. Where do you think they got jihad from? Their holy war. Where did they get it from? They got it from the Roman Catholic Crusades. That's what they are. Muslims and scholars do not all agree on its definition. Within the context of the classical Islamic law, it refers to the struggle against those who do not believe in the Islamic God Allah and do not acknowledge the submission to Muslims, and so is often translated as holy war. Although this term is controversial, according to the Dictionary of Islam and Islamic historian Bernard Lewis, in the large majority of cases, jihad has a military meaning. Well, of course it does. Just like the Crusades are military. They were military, or just like the Jesuits are a military order. The Jesuits, those are all military orders. And then you have all these military orders infused, Roman Catholicism infused into different military orders, like the United States government. Our military is it's a papal military. Why hasn't anybody attacked the Vatican and stole all the gold? Who's stopping them? One dude with machine guns outside the Italian army? Who's stopping them? The Swiss army? Who's stopping? Really? Who's stopping them? Like, why hasn't anybody taken, like, airplanes? Why did they take airplanes into the Twin Towers? Why wouldn't you take one into the Vatican? Why didn't you do that? How come nobody touches all that old man's stuff over there? That old wicked pervert. Why don't anybody? He runs the greatest and the biggest child trafficking operation in the entire world. Why hasn't anybody, like, why didn't they go over there and be like, oh, we're going to bomb you? How come nobody's done that? How come Muslim terrorists hasn't? How come he can tell everybody they're not allowed to have a wall around their country, but he's got a wall around the Vatican? Right? Why? Why? I mean, couldn't like an army of Muslims go over there and take an army full of and go over there to the Vatican? And why wouldn't they just knock the wall down? Like, why aren't they doing that? Why, that's weird. Like, yeah, why aren't there killer suicide bombers that go in there and blow up like gold stuff? Why is the throne of Lucifer over there in the Vatican? Why doesn't anybody... Doesn't inquiring minds want to know? Yeah, the Pope... It's great security, the Popemobile is, yeah. That scares everybody away. So don't you ever wonder why in his gay little Popemobile... That thing is gay looking. Like, couldn't you think of something better than that? That thing is ugly. I mean, you got $1 trillion. Can't you do something else with it that looks good? You can't hire, like, Elon Musk to build you something that looks cool? I mean... It's weird. It's like a bubble that, right? It is. So, question: why? Why hasn't anybody done that? Like, it's the like if you wanted money, I mean, I want $1 trillion. Well, go steal that golden throne over there. I mean, I walked around it. Yeah, they got the greatest secret service ever that runs around there, and I mean, they're pretty.
But yeah, it's Satan's seat. That's why. Why hasn't anybody do that? It's the greatest fortune that's sitting right there. Because he's a sorcerer and he's a witch and he has power. And that's why they don't do it. Instead, they go in there and they kiss his pinky finger. Right?
And then the Pope goes and he kisses the Quran. You see pictures of it where he's kissing the... Why? Well, he ain't against nothing except you. The only thing he's against is this book. That's it. He's not against anything else. He's not against the Quran. He kisses the Quran. When's the last time you seen him kiss a King James Bible? You never seen him kiss that? He hates it. By the way, that was contraband. It was outlawed. He outlawed the King James Bible. It's outlawed. They weren't allowed to have it. Why? Why would he do that? He didn't outlaw an NIV, but why would he do that? Interesting, isn't it? It's a holy war, that's why. According to the Dictionary of Islam and Islamic historian Bernard Lewis, in the large majority of cases, jihad is a military meeting. Like the Roman, the reason why there should never be a Roman Catholic that's a president of the United States is, or a Muslim is because it runs contrary to the Constitution. I'm not here to preach constitutionary law to you. It really doesn't matter that much just in that sense. But the point is true, that if you didn't believe in liberty of conscience and you didn't believe in the First Amendment, you didn't believe the right, to the, then no Catholic or Muslim was ever supposed to be president. Why? Because it was contrary to freedom of speech. Because the Pope hates the Bill of Rights. He hates the freedom of speech. He hates all of it. Absolutely hates it. Why? Because it broke his power. It broke his power. One of the number one people that give people problem, like Pastor Hoggard and people like that, when they go over there, are Roman Catholics and others like them that poison people, that do all kinds. They still do that. You do know that, right? Like, they still poison our missionaries, our preachers that go overseas. They still poison them and they still try to kill them. Like, that hasn't changed. They just don't get. It's not as easy for them to do it here. They still do it here. But they use different tactics. But they poison and they still poison people. They still kill people. You know that, right? Right, the Jesuit oath is absolutely, it's still a real thing. It hasn't changed, right? Javad Gamadi states that there is consensus amongst Islamic scholars that the concept of jihad will always include an armed struggle against wrongdoers. It was generally supposed that the order for a general war could only be given by the caliph, an office that was claimed by the Ottoman sultans. But Muslims, who did not acknowledge the spiritual authority of the caliphate, which has been vacant since 1923, such as non-Sunnis and non-Ottoman Muslims, states always looked at their own rulers for the proclamation of a jihad. There has been, in fact, no universal warfare by Muslims on non-believers since the early caliphate. Some proclaim jihad by claiming themselves a Mahdi, the Sudanese Muhammad Ahmed, in 1882. So, in other words, basically, you haven't never heard of a Baptist declaring any crusades or wars against. But Billy Graham called his evangelistic things, what did he call them? Crusades. Well, that's weird. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Another quote here. I am with you. Give firmness to the believers. I will instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers. Smite ye above their necks and smite all their fingertips off them. That's jihad. But if you read the Jesuit oath, that's light compared to what the Jesuit oath is. Right? So when the sacred months have passed away, then slay the idolaters wherever you find them, and take them captive and besiege them and lie in wait for them in every ambush, even if they repent and keep up prayer and pay the poor rate, leave their way free to them. Where'd they learn this from? The Roman Catholic Crusades. What happened to the Paulicians and the Albigenses at the end? What happened to thousands of Albigenses? What did they say to them? They said, "But there's Catholics among those people. Kill them all and let God sort them out. That's ball. Sounds a lot like Islam, doesn't it? Yeah, well, they could turn to Rome and say, we learned it from watching you. Because that's where they learned it. Where do you think Zwingli got it when he drowned those Anabaptists? Where did he get that from? I love it when, or Calvin in Geneva, when Severus died. I love it when they say this. They say, well, he warned them not to come back. And that's a great reason to kill people. I mean, if you warn them first, then kill them, by all means. Right? All you have to do is comply. I mean, by all means, kill them. I mean, it's your fault. You didn't have to come back. Because you came back, we killed you. And over in Zwingli, what did he do? Ulrich Zwingli, what did he do to the Anabaptists? Who were once his friends, right? What? Be careful who you make friends with. What did they do to him? Well, they gave him a third baptism, they said. They drowned. Well, where'd they get that from? Their mama. They got it from Rome. That's the same thing Rome does. Who's the only people that never did that? The baptized believers in Christ. The Baptists, the Anabaptists, the Waldenses, the Donatists, the Novatianists, the Petrobrusians, the Paulicians, the Albigenses. Well, why? Because they believed God's word. You preach. You love your enemies. If they're enemies of the gospel, you love them and you warn them and you preach to them, and you can't do that if you kill them. But they believe in doing it by the force of sword. The Crusades were a military, the Roman Catholic Crusades were military campaigns sanctioned by the Latin Roman Catholic Church during the High Middle Ages and Late Middle Ages. In 1095, Pope Urban II proclaimed the First Crusade with the stated goal of restoring Christian access to holy places in and near Jerusalem. Look, we have to have access to the holy sites. So the only way we can do that is the Crusades. We're going to drop some Catholicism on them. Just like George Bush dropped some democracy on the Middle East over there in Iraq. We're going to drop some democracy on you. Right? Remember that? Remember when Saddam Hussein wanted to leave the dollar? Well, what do you do? I'm going to drop some democracy on you. Oh, I feel some hope and change coming on. I feel some hope and change, man. I feel some democracy coming to Iraq. You better be afraid of that when they say that. America's a concept that we spread across all the world. That's what he said. America's a concept. Amen. I believe that too. Stop triggering me, okay? The Bushisms almost came out, but they're not. I'm gonna hold them back. They flood my head right now. Many historians and some of those involved at the time, like Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. How do you say that, Jacob? Is it Clairvaux? I knew you'd know how to say that. How did I know that? Give equal precedence to other papal sanctioned military campaigns undertaken for a variety of religions, economic and political reasons, such as the Albigensian Crusade. Remember what they did? We just talked about this. What they did to the Albigenses. What did they do to them? The Pope told them, listen, if you guys will go in there and for 30 days wipe all those Albigenses out and kill them all, you can have their land, you can have their money, you can have whatever they have left over. You can rape and pillage and do whatever you want to, and it'll all be forgiven. And guess what? You won't have to go fight like they had to fight the Crusades for a year to receive heaven. Well, you're going to get heaven in 30 days. You're going to earn heaven by killing all these Albigenses. So they did. They killed them all. They wiped them out. Thousands upon thousands of them died. Murdered them all. Right? Following the First Crusade, there was an intermittent 200-year struggle for control of the Holy Land with six more major crusades and numerous minor ones. In 1291, the conflict ended in the failure with the fall of the last Christian stronghold in the Holy Land at Acre. after which Roman Catholic Europe mounted no further coherent response in the East. So they fought the Muslims by the sword. Convert or die was Rome's mantra. The capital of Rome is the Vatican, and Islam is Mecca. Rome has canon law. Listen to this, and Islam has Sharia law. Canon law is the body of laws and regulations made by ecclesiastical authority, the church leadership for the government of a Christian organization or church and its members. It is the internal ecclesiastical law governing the Catholic Church, both Latin Church and Eastern Catholic Churches, the Eastern and Oriental Orthodox Churches, and the Anglican Communion of Churches. The way that such church law is legislated, interpreted, and at times adjudicated varies widely among these three bodies of churches. In all three traditions, a canon was original, a rule adopted by a church council. These canons form the foundation of canon law. To Arabic-speaking people, Sharia law means legislation. It means the moral code and religious law of a prophetic religion. The term Sharia has been largely identified with Islam in English usage. Sharia or Islamic law deals with many topics and addressed by secular law, including crime, politics, economics, as well as personal matters such as the marriage bed, hygiene, diet, prayer, everyday etiquette, and fasting. Adherence to Islamic law has served as one of the distinguishing characteristics of the Muslim faith historically, and through the centuries, Muslims have devoted such much scholarly time and effort on its elaboration. Human interpretation of Sharia vary between Islamic sects and respective schools of jurisprudence. Yet in its strictest and most historical coherent definition, Sharia is considered the infallible law of God. What is canon law? It's the infallible law of God. What is Sharia law? The infallible law of God. There are two primary sources of Sharia law, the precepts set forth in the Quranic verses and the examples set by the Islamic prophet Muhammad in the Sunnah. Where it is official status, Sharia is interpreted by Islamic judges with varying responsibility for the religious leaders, the imams. For questions not directly addressed in the primary sources, the application of Sharia is extended through consensus of the religious scholars, thought to embody the consensus of the Muslim community. Islamic jurisprudence will also sometimes incorporate analogies from the Quran and the Sunnah. Through many scholars also prefer reasoning to analogy. So my Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. This doesn't change. Right? Not man-made laws by the Pope.
They've come over here, they've set up a parallel government.
Yes. Under Sharia law. In Michigan, they do it now.
Christians, which government are we supposed to?
Right. We follow this above any government, any earthly authorities or civil authorities that come. We obey this because you're going to answer to God, and they can lop off your head. They can throw you in prison, but they can't throw you in hell. And you're to fear God, who can throw both body and soul into hell. That's who you and I fear. That's who we put. Because I'm telling you, it's coming to where statism beast. The beast system is statism. It's the end times religion. It connects religion, it connects the state government, and all authority together into one group. And that's where all of them are going. And they will go. They have to go. So you're going to be set up with a time here where the Lord is going to show you, do I follow this, or do I follow any earthly authorities over this? Because they're doing it now. They're trying to do it now. God just hasn't let them get that far yet. He's had mercy on us. But there's going to come a time when you are going to be tested, whether do you follow the scriptures or do you follow United States government? What do you follow? Well, we will serve the Lord. That's what Peter said. What's that? I don't know what that is.
God, our family.
Okay. Oh, is that right? I've never heard that. Really? Those are awesome songs. No, I'm just kidding. I don't sing very many patriotic songs. I don't really. No flag here. No military order flag in the church. The fringe of a military order under martial law. I mean, you do know that the real United States government, the one that was before the Civil War, that's gone.
Yep.
After the Civil War, it never reconvened. We don't have that government anymore that had some decency. And that's never been formed again. That's not what this is. This is a military-industrial complex. It's not what was there. It's a military-industrial complex that wants you to give your sons and your daughters over to their perverted government so they can pervert them. And now they do it in the schools. By the way, did you ever see, I better see how much more I got. Oh my goodness. All right, we're going to have to stop. We'll pick it up again. We can finish this another time. The next time we talk about it, we'll finish it because I've got more doctrines here to cover that compare Roman Islam together. And they're very profitable to learn because then you can understand who their mother is, where they come from. But you have to understand there's going to come a time when that beast system is going to fully form, and it's forming now, and you're going to be asked to disobey God, to obey them. We know what you believe, we know what your Bible says, but. And you have to remember the words of those three young Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We are not careful to answer thee, O King. Right? We're not careful to answer thee, O King. If God delivers us, great. If He doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your image. We're not doing it, King. And what happened? The visage of his countenance changed. What does that mean? He was mad. Why? Because he figured out, oh, you don't think I'm God? That's what the Pope does. Oh, you don't think I'm God? Well, George Bush called him God. I'm never going to let people forget that. Ever. Because I was in a Goodwill, and I was in a Goodwill, and I was standing there, and there was this lady, and she, and it struck me as odd when she said it, and I didn't even understand the things I understand now, okay? But I didn't have, but it struck, I was newly saved, and she goes, "We need to pray for our president, Brother Bush, our president's a godly man. We need to pray for him." And I was like, it always like struck me kind of like, I don't know, I'll never forget her saying that to me, and I didn't really understand the things because nobody taught on it. I mean, they were all like, go kill people in the sand over there. And I just didn't. But when you understand that that man did a papal crusade against a bunch of Muslims that did nothing to him over there. They did nothing to this country over there. They did nothing. They had no weapons of mass destruction. No, he laughed about it. If you watch the Al Green, is it Al Green? Is that his name? Al Smith, thank you. Alfred B. Smith dinner, right? Thank you, brother. Alfred B. Smith dinner. When they're sitting at that dinner, and then they have both sides are sitting there, and who's in the middle of them? An archbishop is in the middle of them. Well, what's there an archbishop doing in the middle of these two people that are supposed to be like hating each other? Like Bill and Hillary. Oops. I mean Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, right? And they're supposed to be like at war with each other, and they're all sitting at this dinner together, and there's an archbishop. Why? Like why are they having like what does he have to do with anything? Like why are they having this dinner? Why are they all there? Why do they and George Bush at one of those still looking for those WMDs. And he laughs, and everybody's laughing at this dinner. I was like, that's not funny. You killed thousands of people because you said they had those. That's not funny. It's wicked. And they're laughing about it. It's like, Do you see how easily they got all everybody together? Why am I saying this to you? Because there's going to come a time when they're going to try to convince you. Has there ever been a time when they've tried to convince you to do something that you didn't really want to do? Like Mask Up Minnesota? Two weeks to slow the curve? Take this vaccine? Trust us, we know what we're doing. Trust the science, follow the science. And I'm like, follow the money. Yeah, Operation Warp Speed. Take this vaccine or you're going to be fired. Right? Do all these things, and they're going to try to get you to do something. And then you're like, well, why do these people want me to do this? Well, just like they ran the PSYOP 20 years before that was 9/11, which I always say it was an inside job. I can't help it every time. I was renting that stump grinder, and that guy goes, oh, you have to have it back by 9/11. I looked at him, I go, was an inside job. And he laughed, and he goes, I think it was too. I'm like, all right. He goes, I think it was too, yeah. Right? And then 20 years later, they do another PSYOP. And what is it? It's the COVID PSYOP. The whole thing was a PSYOP. Yeah, people got, that's the thing though. With the PSYOP, there's still true, real things that happen. Yes, planes really went into that building. Yes, that really happened. But who was flying them? That's a different story. Right? Yeah. Probably by remote from Osama bin Laden's cave. And I can't get a Sprint cell phone in my house. I can't get a signal. But he could get a signal from his cave over there. And he controlled those planes. And steel melted and IDs don't. See, there they are. Right? And Building 7 just happened to fall for like no reason at all. It was just like these two buildings melt, these two buildings fall, and all of a sudden Building 7 goes like Rampage, that video game. You know, when the donkey hits, or the big ape hits the, and then the what's that? A what? A sympathy fall, yeah. But nobody bothers to ask the question like, well, why? Well, it's a papal crusade, the whole thing was. To get you into war and to kill people and then laugh about it, and they get people to laugh at a dinner. Well, it's just comedy. It's not funny that you killed thousands of people over there. You invaded their country. You killed them for no reason at all. They didn't do anything to you at all. And then you wonder why they hate people over here. Well, I don't hate them. I don't even think they hate me. I think they just want to live. They want to have houses. They want to feed their children. They want to... Remember? They all had Nike tennis shoes and Suburbans, right? They just want to... And they're going to do it again. Watch. They're going to do it again. Trump didn't start no new wars when he was president, but if he's president again, there's going to be another one. It's coming. They already got that equipment. Oh, man. Those guys are ready. They're ready, getting paid by the CIA to do everything they're doing. Catholics in action, right? Getting paid everything they need. Right? Romeland security, right? That's right. Right. Because I know. We've talked about this before, and we got to go. But if you see all those things, put it together, and it makes sense. Like, we never had a TSA or a Homeland Security. We never need one. And why do they take little blonde girls and pat them down at the airport? Like, when's the last time you seen a little blonde girl take a bomb and blow it up? Blow up an airport. When's the last time you seen that? So you don't want to fly because you don't want your wife manhandled by some pervert or some dyke lesbian that wants to put their hands on them. Because they pick the greatest people to run TSA. I mean, they are specimens of... What? What's that? Right. But you're like, well, why did we have Romeland security now over here? Why are we being spied on for what some dude did in the sand over there that's supposed to, like, what does that have to do with us? Nothing. I mean, you are the reason they did it. Right? You're the reason they did it. Because that's how it's all coming down. And that's all history. And some people don't like to talk about it, but it's real. And it's the reason why. And there's going to be more of those jihads or crusades, whatever you want to call them. But make no mistake about it, they're coming from a central place. And it's in history and it hasn't changed. The popes have lost no authority and no power whatsoever. None. They have lost none. Name any other nation on this earth that doesn't have to have a huge standing army to protect it, protect its wealth in this world today. No one. How come he don't need one? There you go. Because he's a witch. That's why. He runs it. He's a sorcerer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we're not deceived. That you've given us the truth. And we can see it in the scriptures and we see it played out in history. But Lord, we know that great whore is in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And we see it, Lord. But we also know the destruction of the great whore is coming. That you're going to put it down, Lord. All these wars and all these rumors of wars and all this death and destruction. One day, Jesus, you're going to come back and right it all. Lord, please help us not to be deceived when they bring up their psyops and their games and their plans to try to draw God's people into a different war. Help us to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life and not be deceived by their wars. Please, Father, give us vigilance, give us courage. And give us strength to stand in these last days that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.